Luke chapter number 10. Please turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter number 10. We'll be looking at verses 17 through 20. I'll begin at verse number 17. Then you'll join me on verse 18. We'll read responsively down through the 20th verse of Luke chapter number 10. Stand, please. And I'll begin reading verse number 17, Luke chapter number 10. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not, that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Heavenly Father, we want to come again. Lord, we ask that we would be yielded to you, that your Holy Spirit would speak to us. Lord, and that you would have your will and way in our hearts as preacher speaks. I pray, Lord, that you please help us to listen, Lord, to what you have. Pray, Lord, that you please be with preacher as he speaks. Be with the special also now. In your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
Appreciate that tonight, and appreciate her spirit, which goes right along with that song. That's wonderful. I want to speak tonight out of this passage to you on this subject, how you doing? How you doing? All right? That's the name of the message, how you doing? You say, well, that's not very polished. That's okay. How you doing? All right? We're going to talk about that tonight. Let's pray together. Lord, we are thankful. My, how that song really fits. Thank you so much for all you've done for us. And certainly today, we have even more to be thankful for as we think about the potential damage that could have been, Lord, and so many different people's homes. I do pray for Darlena's relatives, Lord, and family and friends down there. I trust that no one was injured physically. I pray that you'll please help them and others throughout the state and region. Now, Lord, please help me to bring this message to our folks that might be an encouragement, a help, and a blessing, as it has been to me as I've thought about it this week. In Jesus' name, and amen. If you were not here Wednesday night, we voted as a church to send a couple $1,000s to Brother Rick Martin for distribution over in the Philippine Islands. I would much rather do that, give through a missionary that we know and who's been there for probably almost 40 years now, than give through some government agency who's going to siphon off some for themselves. And, we voted to give $2,000, one from missions and one from general. And then somebody in the church threw a couple $100 in that night. And then another person came and said, I want to put $1,000 toward that. So the total offering for Brother Martin was $3,200. Now, he won't keep one penny of that. You know him. I've been there. I know him. That's one of the most unselfish men in all the world. He won't keep that money. And he'll make sure that his pastors get it, and that they get to what they need. And hopefully homes and churches can be rebuilt through the monies that we sent. Now, if I understood it right, one of his letters or one of his emails, I think he said they were raising about $90 to help rebuild one of the churches. Because you understand, they're not made out of brick and mortar, okay? And so if that's true, then $3,200 is going to go a long ways over there, folks, to help those people. And he asked me to say thank you. He said, would you please tell the church thank you for the gift? And so that's what I'm doing tonight. Then that reminds me that I called Brother Ed Bragg on Wednesday because the Stanick stuff, Brother Luke mentioned that Mrs. Stanick's was her dad. Mrs. Stanick's dad died very suddenly there in Israel, the Stanick's are, and she needed to come home immediately. They didn't have any extra funds for a plane ticket. And so I knew Brother Bragg was there. He's there sending church there. So I called him to ask about the Stanick's, and he emailed me the next day. And I think there were $4,100 that had been given to help get Mrs. Stanick home. So that was a blessing. But in the course of calling Brother Bragg, he answered the phone and he said, hello. And I said, Brother Bragg, this is Brother Angel. How you doing? He said, I'm saved forever. Saved forever. And, you know, when he said that, I thought to myself, you know, that's how he answers every time I've ever asked him, how you doing? Every time. I saw him, he was up here not too long ago. And he came by the church on a Saturday morning. And when he came in, and I said, Brother Bragg, how you doing? He said, saved forever. I'm saved forever. And when he said that on Wednesday on the phone to me, I'm saved forever. You know what? It was just one of those times where the Spirit of God captured that and sunk it deep into my heart and really began to work on me about that thing. And I finally came to the conclusion, you know, I believe Brother Bragg has the right mentality. How you doing? I'm saved forever. Amen. Now, in chapter 10 here in the Gospel of Luke, verse number 1, the 70 are sent out two by two. The Lord sends them out, okay, to carry on their ministries into every city and to every place, whether He Himself would come. So they're like forerunners, okay? They're gonna do some advance work, if you will, for the Lord Jesus. And so He sends them out in verse 1, and in verse 17, they are coming back. And the 70 returned, and they returned again, the Bible says, with joy. And there was a great cause for their joy. They gave a glowing report now of what God had done through them. And there's no denying the fact that God had done some wonderful things through them. Look at verse 17. Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. Now, these 70 witnesses had been given the apostolic, if you will, sign gift power, okay? Apostolic sign gift power. Nobody has that power today, all right? That's done because we have a book that replaced that, okay? So, but they had it back then, and this was the power of healing, not like Benny Hinn with his hocus pocus onion breath blowing everybody over. And, at this team conference I preached at, oh, they had some challenges, you know, between the young people. They had a puzzle theme, and it was Jenga versus Jigsaw. And so they would have these challenges, and they'd have these kids volunteer, you know, who's good. And so they put these things out there. It looked like a caramel apple, All right? It looked like a caramel apple. So we need a couple of volunteers. Man, these guys are jumping out of their seats, you know. It was a caramel-coated onion. He was laughing before I said that. He's devious. He don't know, you know. It was a caramel-coated onion. And those kids bit into that. Oh, man. I was sitting on the front row. I could smell it all the way on the front row. It was, they, of course, they're into it now. So they're, them boys are not going to lose, you know. So they're hawking that thing down, man. I mean to tell you. But I don't know how I got off. That's right. Onion, Benny Hinn, healing. Okay, very good. So follow the yellow brick road here, okay? So you got the power, you got the power of healing, the right kind of healing. You remember when Peter in the book of Acts and he passed by and his shadow passed over people and they got well. That was apostolic power, apostolic sign gift power. And they had the power of protection. And he talked about that protection in verse number 19. I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Paul had that protection. We just looked at that when we closed out the book of Acts. In Acts 28 there, when they're gathering the sticks and the viper comes out of the sticks and bites him on the hand. And all the natives thought, he's dead. He's done. And he shook it off into the fire and kept on. And of course, that was the apostolic sign gift power of protection. And then there was the power of exorcism, or what, for lack of a better word, casting out devils. You can see it in the verse number 17. They were saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. Now, folks, don't make light of that. That's pretty powerful. That's some kind of power, okay? And so, man, they're kicking up their heels and they're rejoicing because, man, alive, they have had some wondrous things that God has done through them, and they're rejoicing in that. And he says in verse number 20, after they talk for a little bit, he says in verse 20, he says, notwithstanding, fellas, in this rejoice not, that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Boys, do not rejoice in that power working through you. Rejoice in the fact that you're saved forever. How you doing? I'm saved forever. Amen. How you doing, Brother Bragg? I'm saved forever. Now that one truth ought to be the basis of our rejoicing. Ought to be. And here is the sermon in a nutshell. But that doesn't mean that we're going to pray and go home. All right, okay? But this is the sermon in a nutshell, so don't miss this. When I am rejoicing about being saved forever, then I am more thankful for what God did in me than what God did through me. Do you understand that? When I'm rejoicing in being saved forever, and that means I've got my mind on what God did in me rather than what God might do through me. Now, that might seem a little bit selfish, but I'm not talking about taking the attitude that I don't care if God ever does anything through me. I am not suggesting that we ought not be thankful when God uses us and works through us. It's just, folks, that the priority for our rejoicing always needs to be saved forever. Saved forever. Boys, don't be excited about the power of healing, and don't be excited about the power of protection, and don't be so excited about the power of exorcism, casting out those devils. He said, you want to give cause for rejoicing? He said, rejoice that you're saved forever. Rejoice that your name is written down in heaven. Okay, that's where the priority ought to be. So let me give you three things to think about here tonight along this line of thinking that we ought to be thankful and rejoicing in that we are saved forever. Number one, what happened in us was all of God. What happened in us was all of God. You know the salvation that God worked in us when we called on the Lord Jesus Christ was all His work. You and I can't take credit for one thing when it comes to our salvation. Not one thing. He said in verse number 20 there, He said, rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Now folks, how in this world could you and I possibly do anything that would lead to getting our names written down in heaven? I can't. There's no way I can reach all the way to heaven. There's no way I can work my way all the way up to heaven so I can write my name in that record up there. No, the Lord is talking about the Lamb's book of life. And that book belongs to the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ the righteous. That book belongs to Him. And the names written in that book are those who have been washed in His blood. And listen, a work of grace was done in the hearts of those names to draw them to Jesus Christ. No work of the flesh could be added to that work of grace. If one work of the flesh was added to that, it would no longer be grace. So all that record of names written in the Lamb's Book of Life is there because of the wonderful grace of God. And even the repentance that I talked about this morning, where if you don't exercise true Bible repentance, even repentance is the gift of God. It's not something that you and I work up. It's not an emotional state. It's God's grace convicting us and showing us that we're guilty sinners before God and bringing us to the place where we're willing to confess it and acknowledge it. You and I can't do that. That's not a work of the flesh. That's a work of grace. That's a work of the grace of God. So when I am constantly rejoicing about what God has done in me, I am rejoicing about something that only He and He alone could do. Did you ever do something and somebody else took the credit for it? You know, the little word, the little pronoun we gets thrown around very carelessly sometimes, doesn't it? So, you know, honey, what are we doing for the craft sale? That probably means, what are you doing for the craft sale? Huh? But if somebody can do something, you know, maybe a wife goes to all the work, the sweat, the blood, the effort and everything. And then the husband chimes in with his pronoun, we, and take a little bit of the credit for it. Well, I want to tell you something, friend. When we're rejoicing in the fact that we're saved forever, it causes us to remember that that salvation is the gift of God by His grace. And there is nothing that I can do to merit that or earn that. And so I'm rejoicing in something that only God could do. So I am saved forever. How are you doing? I'm saved forever. I'm saved forever. And that's what Jesus told us to rejoice in. Now let me say this, number two tonight. When we rejoice about what happened in us, it will cause us to be humble. You see, in verse number 19, Jesus reminded these disciples that the power they had just experienced on their trip was His gift. He said in verse number 19, "Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." What they experienced was not because of them. The truth of the matter was, if anything, it was in spite of them. And the truth of the matter is, with me and you folks, whatever God does through us is not because of us, it's in spite of us. And when you talk about when you get your mind on being saved forever, you are concentrating on what happened in you, and it will cause you to have a humble spirit. When we concentrate on rejoicing about what God has done through us, we can very easily taint that with that nasty old nature sin of pride reaches out and sinks its talons in everything. Folks, that's the nature of pride. The nature of pride is to reach out and take something that only God can do and take credit for it. That's the nature of pride. We ought not be surprised at that. I told you I was up in Manitoba in Winkler. It was a fascinating place. They asked me 3 years in a row to come, and 3 years in a row I said no, because I don't like to travel anywhere after the end of October. And, you know, there are certain things that just need to be done around here in the month of November, and I hate to be gone. But anyway, when they called this year and said, can you come, it was like the Lord said, do not tell them no. So, I'm thick-headed, but not that thick-headed. So, and it was fascinating. This brother, I didn't know this brother. He came to the college in January of 1980. That was my last semester. It was his first semester. His name is Mike Sullivan. His dad was won to Christ down in Augusta, Georgia by the old Bill Rice. who started the Bill Rice Ranch. And then he was out of Franklin Road there when Bob Kelly was the pastor of Murfreesboro, Tennessee, and he ended up at Hiles Anderson January of 1980, and then he worked on staff there for a while, taught a couple of classes after he graduated, but he was called to be a missionary to Canada from the time he was 16 years of age, and he never forgot it, never lost sight of it. And he went up there to be with somebody, and then this church in Winkler came up. That's out in the middle of nowhere, 10,000 people, about 20 miles north of Walhalla, North Dakota. I mean, flat, brother, you think it's flat here. It is flat here, but there are at least towns there you can see forever in that part of Montana, North Dakota and Manitoba. And it was a Mennonite community. And the Mennonites have been there. And the sound director man's name was Juan. And he was born in Mexico, a white guy born in Mexico, a Mennonite, and of all things, he was a Mexican up in Canada. And it just reminded me, and I told the story, and I said to the pastor, I said, can Juan handle a little fun? And he said, yeah, he can. I said, about being a Mexican. And so I told that story about Ben in that church, you know, and he's supposed to tell those kids in that class about where Madagascar. He's down at Murfreesboro, Tennessee. And he's got this class of fifth grade kids. And he's supposed to tell them about Madagascar. He says, where do y'all think the people are from? Where are they? Well, they're an Indonesian-Malaysian mix. But everybody thinks of Madagascar as Africa. So, you know, everybody thinks automatically. And so a little kid raises his hand and says, Africans. And Ben says, no, there's a few Africans there, but not many. And another kid, well, it's close to India, Indians. And he said, no, not India. And somebody said, Chinese. And so he said, no. And this little boy's in the front row. And I'm telling the story. And he's sitting back there. And I said, you know, a little boy raised his hand and he said, Mexicans. And Ben said, Mexicans? He said, man, he said, Mexico's on the other side of the world. And that little kid said, yeah, but they're everywhere. And so I said, I come up here to Manitoba and there's a Juan in Manitoba. And he laughed. He had some fun with it. But it's a remarkable church. They don't have a lot of bus type of ministry because they're farm folk, rural folk, live out in the country and grow potatoes and they make all the French fries for McDonald's. The French fries that we eat or that we used to eat from McDonald's, they've eaten there for a while, but they come out of Manitoba up there where this place is, and beautiful new buildings and. I mean, the Bible college and a tremendous spirit. It was just, it was a great blessing. We were talking about the guy's a deer hunter. His son picked me up, Matthew, and Matthew was driving me from Winnipeg to Winkler. It was about an hour and 45 minutes. And he said, I know you hunt deer. He said, I'm a deer hunter. And we got to talking about it. And they have released up in North Dakota and up into Manitoba, they have released several pairs of mountain lions up there. Male and female. And you know what's happening? They're killing their animals. And everybody's up in arms about it. And these, here they are, they release. But folks, is that any wonder? That's the nature of a mountain lion. It's the nature of a cougar. Yeah, it's what's going to happen. So they're losing livestock up there, losing animals, because they're released. Now, who in the world, why would they release mountain lions? I don't know why they would do it, but they released these mountain lions and these predator animals in several places in North Dakota and that Red River, I think it is, up through there and up into Manitoba. And now they've got trouble, but nobody is really amazed that they're losing livestock because that's the nature of mountain lions. And listen, the nature of the pride that is in you and me reaches out and sinks its talons in everything that God does through us. If we're not careful. What has God done through you? Has He used you in a Sunday school class? Has He used you as a parent? Has He used you in song to be a blessing to others? Has He used you to win a soul? Has He used you to encourage a brother? Has He used you to secure an answer to prayer for somebody that you love? Has He used you to be a financial blessing to somebody else? There are so many things that God can do through us. But folks, with each one of those things that God does through us, there is always the temptation to taint that with the pride of our heart. And if I am rejoicing in what only in what God is doing through me, 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 through. And you even see a little bit of it in verse number 17 there. Even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. That's that old nature of pride that just reaches out and sinks its talons in everything if we're not careful. But friend, rejoicing in the fact that I'm saved forever leaves no room for pride. I am right, man. Because I didn't do that. God did it. I couldn't save forever reminds us that God had to reach down in mercy and do something in us that we did not deserve. You know, I picked this young man picked me up here. His name is Matt. What happened? Here's what happened years ago when Dave Smith was out here at Cedar River. There was a missionary that went up to Canada, Greg Davis. Y'all remember him? We used to support Greg Davis, and he had pastored in Kansas. And then he went up to be a missionary in Canada. Well, Brother Davis had always come to Cedar River Baptist Camp with the kids from his church. And so when he ended up in Canada, these guys up here were asking, man, where is a camp? Where is a good camp to go to? They didn't have one in Canada. And Greg Davis said, well, there's one down in Letts, Iowa. In the armpit of America, there's a camp down there. And that's what that was. And so, you know what they did? They jumped on the bus like 3 years in a row, and they drove from Winkler, Manitoba, Canada, to Letts, Iowa. That's a full 2 days drive on a bus. And they did that, 3 years in a row, and they always came to the week that I preached in August. I always preached that second teen week out there at Cedar River back when Brother Dave was there. And preached the whole week, and they always, that's how I got to know these guys. And Jeff Friesen came, and Gary Griesbach, and Mike Sullivan, who is the Pastor Sullivan's son. Oh, he's now a missionary in Thailand. And these guys all came, and they brought this busload of teenagers. And man, we enjoyed it. We had a great time of fellowship together. And every year, it became just a kind of a reunion time when the boys from Canada would come down, and we'd meet out there in Iowa and have a great week of camp. And so that's how I got acquainted with them. And so he's been asking, will you come? So he picked me up at the airport, and we're driving along there. And it's already dark. It was Thursday night after college. It was already dark. And we're driving along in the vehicle, endless road, just straight as an arrow and nothing either direction. And he says, Brother Angel, he said, you remember the years that we came to camp? And I said, yes, sir, I sure do. I remember that. And he said, you know, it was a sermon that you preached on a Thursday night the second year I came to camp that I surrendered to preach. And I'm preaching tonight. I'm preaching now, surrendered to the ministry because of a message you preached out of 1 Timothy. And I didn't remember that. I had no earthly memory of that whatsoever. And you know what, folks? You say, does that bless you? Sure it does. Come on. That blesses me. That encourages me. But listen, I can't dwell on what God does through me. I have to dwell on what God did in me. Y'all with me tonight? You know why? Because I'm as wicked in my heart as anybody else is. And that old demon of pride, brother, will reach out and grab hold of that thing and get a hold of it, and it'll taint that work, I'm telling you. But when I lay my head on the pillow at night, I'm grateful for any way God uses me, like you're grateful for any way that God uses you. And God has used you people in different and unique ways than God has used me. But folks, can I ask us tonight that when we pillow our head at the end of the day and we're just rejoicing, let's make sure that we're rejoicing in the fact that we're saved forever. I think that's the right thing to rejoice in, don't you? How you doing, Brother Bragg? I'm saved forever. I'm saved forever. Number three, let me say this tonight. The work in us must keep going if the work through us is going to continue. The work in us must keep going if the work through us is to continue. I like what Paul told the Philippian people in chapter 1, verse 6, being confident of this very thing, watch it now, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And I think when Paul's talking there in Philippians 1, 6, of course he's referencing the work of salvation, but he's referencing more than just salvation, more than just justification, just forgiven as if I'd never sinned. He's referencing justification, he's referencing sanctification, and he's referencing glorification until the day of Jesus Christ. So what Paul is saying is this, hey Christian, God began a good work in you when he justified you, and he's going to keep working in you until he glorifies you. And bless the Lord that it gets that. Makes me excited to think that God's still going to keep working in me. And the same is true about you as well. Rejoicing in saved forever reminds us that God started a good work in us, and it is his will to continue that work. And here's the thing. If that work stops in us, not that we lose our salvation, but if that work of sanctification that someday becomes glorification, if that work stops in us, it won't be long till the work stops through us. And this is what happens to some who've been saved for lengthy periods of time. If you don't stay excited and reminded that you're saved forever, that the work God did in you is more important than what God does through you, you lose sight of the fact that he's supposed to still be working in you. And all of your rejoicing will be once upon a time. I'm happy for once upon a time, but I'd like a little bit of something right now, wouldn't you? If I'm going to enjoy anything that God might do through me as a Christian, as a dad, as a grandparent, as a pastor, as a soul winner, and the same for you, if I want to get to enjoy anything that God might do through me someday, I better major on the fact that God's will is to continue working in me, and I want to keep awareness of the fact that the will of God is to keep working in me, keep molding me, keep shaping me, keep sanctifying me. If I put all my rejoicing in the basket of what is happening through me, I'm making a mistake, because those things are not guaranteed to continue if the work in me gets derailed. And believe me, that happens. And the work that God's will to work continually in our lives after he justifies us, a continual work of grace. If because of our sin, because of our pride, because of whatever, that work gets sidetracked, folks, there's not going to be any work going on through us. Does that make sense to y'all? And I'll just ask you to do this. I'll just ask you to pray for somebody who really, not here, hours away from here, but I'll ask you to pray for somebody, a pastor, who has got a heavy, 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 heavy matter to deal with. You say this? Say, this is a different guy. This is a call I got this afternoon. And I'll just ask you, because if I told you who it was, you'd want to pray for him. I'll just ask you to pray for a pastor who's got a tremendous ordeal to deal with. And I'm going to tell you what happens. Something inside of us, our sin, our neglect to walk with the Lord in the light of his word or whatever, to stay humble before God, it derails the work that God desires to keep doing in us. And when that work in us stops, the work through us is going to stop as well. It's vital that God keeps working in us. I'm not talking about saving us over and over and over again. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about God sanctifying us. That's what chapter 1, verse 6 is talking about. He began. That's justification. He's going to continue it until the day of Jesus Christ. That's glorification. So in this time period right here, it is the will of God to keep working on me and keep working on you, molding us and making us and shaping us. And when I rejoice in the fact that I am saved forever, I think I'm recognizing the fact that, man, alive, yes, God saved me, and one of these days I'm going to be glorified, but I sure like for Him to keep working on me in the meantime. Amen. I want God to keep working on me. What's that little song the kids sing? He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. That's a little kid's song, but that's a big boy's truth. All right? So how you doing? How you doing? I'm saved forever. Saved forever. Number four, let me say this tonight. Thinking about being saved forever puts everything in life in perspective. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. Now, I don't know these folks, and I'm not minimizing the pain and sorrow of heart that anybody would feel walking up out of a basement and looking around at where the walls of their house used to stand and now it's gone. I can't imagine that. But folks, when you're rejoicing in the fact that you're saved forever, something like that happens to you, it puts it all in perspective. You know? Yes, I lost my house. I'm not happy about it. But you know, in the long run, I'm saved forever. And when you get a bad doctor's report, I'm not happy about it, but I am saved forever. And when I get a pink slip, I don't enjoy that. I got some work to do to get over this. But you know what? I am saved forever. It puts everything in life in perspective. So, how are you doing tonight? How you doing, Brother Bragg? Brother Terry? I'm saved forever. It reminds me that God did a work in me. It reminds me that God can work through me because He worked in me. It reminds me that God desires to still keep working in me so He can continue working through me. And it puts everything in perspective in this life. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. God, thank You for saving me. How you doing? I'm saved forever. And that's biblical thinking, based on what Jesus told these boys here in Luke 10. Saved forever. So the next time somebody asks you how you doing and you're tempted to tell them all the negative, just stop and say, you know what? I'm saved forever. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You so much for saving us. Thank You so much for doing a work in us that only You could do. Thank You so much for continuing that work through the process of sanctification. And Lord, thank You so much for doing works through us. But I pray that we won't ever get enamored by that. I pray that we'll stay enamored by what You did in us and what You're continuing to do in us. Thank You that we're saved forever. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Hey, how you doing tonight? You're saved forever. You're born again. That's the basis of our rejoicing. Because it puts all the emphasis on God and His work and His grace. It reminds me that if God's going to be able to keep using me, He's going to have to keep working in me. So I'm saved forever.